Hey, feeling unsure about your finances these days? You're not alone. That's why Noble Gold Investments is here to help. Just hear it straight from the people who they've helped. The Noble crew walked me through everything with no stress. With their help, I could finally sleep easy at night. And now this month, Noble Gold Investments is handing out a free 5-ounce silver America the Beautiful coin if you qualify for an IRA. Invest in gold and silver with Noble Gold Investments. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show Ask Me Anything episode, reflections on my 20s. We talk about why are Jews so successful and more. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Become a member. Go to charliekirk.com and click on the members tab. That's right. Click on the members tab, charliekirk.com, and click on the members tab. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. So email us freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. So somebody asked us, and it was kind of an anti-Semitic email in some ways, and I don't say that lightly. I hate when people use the term anti-Semite and Nazi. That's a very, very high line for me. I got to be honest. People throw that around like a Frisbee, and it drives me crazy. But someone says, this one email, Charlie, Jews run the world, blah, 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 the whole thing. Okay, but hold on, time out. And they have this whole Jewish conspiracy thing. Time out. Let's just talk about values. What do Jewish families do better than some other, your average secular American family? Is there anything that could be acknowledged? Well, number one, they take learning very seriously. I talked about how at a family dinner table, you have to defend your position, which creates a sense of not just argumentation, but a yearning to reason for a 5-, 6-, 7-, 8-year-old to understand that, hey, if you want to get a word in edgewise with your aunt and your uncle. Number three, and this is what's very important, that as a Christian, and there's a lot of verses to support this, that if you follow God's law, specifically the Ten Commandments, you will be blessed. That's not to say that every Jewish person on the planet follows the Ten Commandments, but generally they've created cultural and religious patterns that are parallel and consistent with the Ten Commandments. I think you're more likely to succeed if you prioritize your family. You take a day of rest. My career exploded as I started to take Friday off to Sunday morning. It's the opposite, you'd think, right? What, you don't work for a day and your career gets better? Yeah. I think honoring the Shabbat is a way that you could actually have a competitive edge. Not lying, not stealing, not murdering. Again, it's not to say that every Jew on the planet follows those things. But there are, again, in most Jewish family circles, there is a consistent ethical monotheism that I think makes you far more likely to succeed in life. If you take an average secular family in America that believes there's no God and men can give birth and they work all 7 days and they don't prioritize family, and then you take a average Jewish family that puts a lot of pressure on doing well in school, family is very important, they have a strong ethnic and religious tie, who's going to be more likely to succeed? I mean, the family that obviously believes in God's law. Obviously. What's hilarious is the average secular family I'm describing is quickly becoming the average Jewish family in America. That's the irony, is that the average Jewish family in America is actually becoming more like the average secular family in America, which is too bad. As Jews become more secular, they become more liberal. They become less happy. But I want to just zero in on this because some people, they say, Charlie, there's a lot of envy and resentment. I don't like it, to be honest. And instead, you should say, what do Jews do that differentiates them? What is in their culture that gives them a leg up? And they take care of their own. Oh, yeah. Jews donate more money than Christians do. We've talked about that. Jewish hospitals, Jewish schools, Jewish charities. I mean, I the amount of emails that I am receiving of donors that I've known throughout the years, some still give, some don't give, that are giving like $10 million, $25 million, $30 million, like in the last 3 days to Israel, to IDF for flashlights and bulletproof vests, and it's unbelievable. There was a story of a Jewish man who showed up at JFK Airport. It's an incredible story. And he announces in Hebrew, if you're flying to Israel, I'll pay for your flight. If you could show me your reservist orders, I'll pay for your flight. He put $500,000 on his Black American Express credit card in LL flights. Now, why the Israeli government is not paying for that is a separate issue. I mean, come on. I mean, you're calling these guys back, but that's whatever. But this guy steps up. He says, I'm going to underwrite every flight back to Israel. They stand up for their own. I think that's really, really admirable. I do. And when you prioritize education, when you prioritize family, you're going to do better than people that do not. Not to mention, embedded in just the practical elements of Jewish culture is literacy. And we take this for granted. Reading and studying is not just allowed, everyone allows it, not just done, it is prioritized as a moral good to teach a 3, 4, 5-year-old to read the Torah. So, of course, they're going to be more likely to consume other information. They're going to be serious learners. If you're a serious learner, you're going to do better in life versus someone who's a serious TV watcher. In order to go through your bat or bar mitzvah, you have to study the Torah in the original Hebrew. That works your intellectual muscles. That makes you more likely to be able to succeed in a very difficult intellectual world. So those are just some of many, many examples. And I'm introducing those examples and those factors because what I don't like is people act as if, well, you know, Jews are only successful because of some sort of like, I don't know, conspiracy. I don't even want to get into that. It's a bunch of trash. I don't like it. And so that's my answer to that question. I don't want to spend too much time on that. And not to mention hard work, being very industrious as well. Okay, let's get to another question here. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. So I went on Patrick Bet David's podcast, and you know we asked the question, was the Israeli government aware, and potentially was there a stand-down order given while these barbarians were in the gates, literally? Now that's a provocative question. That would require that there are double agents within the Israeli government. But it turns out that our speculation is not completely unfounded. We're asking tough questions. You have to ask the tough questions regardless of where they lead you. And according to Axios, axios.com, the Israeli government heard that something was happening on the border, and they did not go into high alert. I'm actually searching for the story right now in real time. That the Israeli government received chatter. In fact, the night before, and this is, I got to be very honest, this is very suspicious to me. Not suspicious that somebody wanted it to happen, but this smells like Golda Meir in 1973. And I'll tell you what that is. I'll remind you what that is. That the Israeli government knew that there was going to be some form of a border incursion. Did they know how bad it was going to be? Did they know to what extent? Axios.com reports, if I can find this article here, that the Israeli government had a briefing and was given serious information in real time and the night before. It's very, very strange, honestly. Here it is. Thank you. Israel had intel on Hamas activity, but didn't put Gaza border on high alert. Israeli intelligence the night before. I don't like this. I don't like this. My spidey senses are going off. My vaccine safe and effective senses. The COVID came from a Wuhan, a bat in the mountains. There's nothing to see at Jeffrey Epstein. Pattern recognition is starting to be, hold on, time out, time out. This is not good. By the way, we were one of the first shows to say this, and people said, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. I said, I'm just asking questions, okay? Turns out that there might be a little bit something to our gut here. Israeli leaders received signs of irregular activity among Hamas operatives in Gaza, but top IDF leaders decided not to put military forces on the border of the enclave on high alert, three Israeli officials told Axios. There are rumors that Egypt sent a warning, and Netanyahu denies the Egyptian report, but three Egyptian Israeli officials are saying that they probably saw people the night before starting to get, I don't know, gas up their motorcycles and running around like savages getting ready for an invasion. And on the 50-year anniversary of the Yom Kippur War, they don't mobilize the military? All right, you've probably heard me. It's actually now 25 pounds that I have lost. And I'm sure some of you say, oh, Charlie, I've tried everything. That was me. You know, my first Zoom call with my PhD weight loss, I was kind of skeptical. I was like, come on, guys. All right, I've heard this whole thing before. And boy, was I wrong. They know what they're doing, my PhD weight loss. Look, this is 100% legit. And people say, well, Charlie, you've lost so much weight. And I say, yeah, my PhD weight loss, hello. But look, they have a different approach. And it's Dr. Ashley Lucas. She's great. I text with her. She does a really, really good job. 25 pounds, I'll tell you. And I have more energy and I'm healthier than ever before. Here's why. The program rids your body of the inflammation that is causing so many health problems. If you look around today, America is the fattest it has ever been. Our families, friends, and neighbors are dying of diabetes, heart disease, and Alzheimer's, now called T3 diabetes. PhD has helped so many people who want to have a good, active life, play with their grandkids, travel, hike to a waterfall, go for a bike ride, but their weight was holding them hostage. They don't want any of you on experimental drugs for your brain degeneration from Alzheimer's or homebound with an oxygen tank for heart failure. My PhD weight loss knows that losing weight is the best thing for overall health. We are way too fat as a society. And here's the thing. If you're listening to this and you say, boy, I'm a little overweight, it's perfectly fine. Do something about it. Use your free will, your agency. Say, you know what? I'm just not where I want to be. This is an empowerment tool for you. All of these things can be prevented. You look at heart disease, what they now call diabesity. By the way, there's a great new book by Dr. Peter Attia about longevity. You want to live long? Lose weight. Look, Dr. Ashley Lucas, she is the master of this, and she is the genius behind my PhD weight loss. So you can call them today at 864-644-1900. That is 864-644-1900. By the way, this is not like a sign up and you're automatically going to lose weight. You got to do some work. You got to apply yourself. It's not a too good to be true thing. But if you have motivation, they will channel that motivation towards a very positive, measurable, and real outcome. Find them online at myphdweightloss.com. Tell them Charlie Kirk sent you. That is myphdweightloss.com. PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition, physician and dietitian developed, individually delivered. Again, I lost 25 pounds and I feel great. If you think you've tried everything, you're wrong until you say you've tried my PhD weight loss. They map you as a whole person. It's not like, hey, just read this book. No, 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 no. It's a deep dive. It's personalized. It's going to get results for you. MyPhDweightLoss.com.
All right. So look, we have to be clear with you guys. You know, on this show, our team, we made the correct calls on the vaccine, ivermectin, vitamin D, Ukraine, Hunter Biden laptop. We told DeSantis to drop out many, many months ago. Ballot chasing, early voting, voter integrity, January 6th. I mean, we have a good pattern here. And Axios is backing up the questions we're asking. Again, I don't know the answer, but we're getting closer and closer. We're getting closer to an approximation of the truth here. And I want to just reiterate this. According to Axios, Barak Ravid, who is probably like an Israeli correspondent for Axios, I'm guessing. Israel had intel. Yeah, he writes for Walla News and Israel political reporter for Axios. Got it. Okay, thank you. Israeli intelligence the night before picked up signs of irregular activity among Hamas operatives in Gaza, but the IDF decided not to put military on the border or the enclave on high alert. I find this to be so unacceptable. The whole country is always on high alert. What would have the argument have been not to do that? Because it was Shabbat, High Holy Day. You guys live in a war zone. That's a bad excuse, guys. I'm sorry. There are rabbinical exceptions. Again, I know Judaism not very well, but well enough. You can break the Shabbat if it's a time of war or crisis. 50 years ago, they invaded you on the Yom Kippur War. To the day, if life is at stake, they could have said, guys, I know that, you know, it's Shemat Torah. We just read the entire Torah. Hate to break the holy day, but there's some really weird stuff happening on the other side of the border. This was not a surprise. That's what Axios is reporting. If what is Axios is reporting is true, this was not a surprise attack. It was not. It means they had intel the night before, and they made a conscious decision not to do anything. So let's go through all the possible explanations. Explanation number one, the IDF did not want to have to deal with all the complaining of Orthodox Jews on kibbutzes. That's probably the excuse they're going to give. That if they would have put that region on high alert, that they would have had a bunch of rabbis, again, what are you doing? Give us one day. Because it is a high holy day. It's very important. It's not the holiest day, but it's, you know, important. So maybe that's, they didn't want to have basically 20 kibbutzes saying, why are you doing this? You guys are always overreacting. Or that they just had the pride syndrome. Okay, we hear reports of stuff all the time. Come on. What are they going to do? Break in? We got the tunnels. We got the Iron Dome. Let our people have a holy day. Could have been fatigue. It could have been the IDF just saying like, huh. You have to understand, the holy days are so dead in Israel. It's similar to as if like on Christmas, it's like the American example, like on Christmas Eve, you tell like suburban neighborhoods to like arm up and like look for the enemy. You're like, I can't get what, like we can't have one day, you know, not to say that Christmas is overly holy, but there is kind of this idea of traditions and you have sort of a plan in your head of what you want to do on Christmas Day. Could have been fatigue, could have been wishful thinking, or it could have been something more sinister. It could have been one person, group of people, Mossad, double-crossing the Israeli government. There could have been decision makers that are compromised by radical Islamists. That's a very hard, that is sick. If that's spies, essentially. Double agents. Or the worst of all the explanations, and let me be very clear before I say this. There's no evidence to support this except this Axios article, and it is pure, raw speculation. It could have been the Golda Meir situation. The Golda Meir situation, 50 years ago, she was the Prime Minister of Israel. Her team comes to her right before the Yom Kippur War, and they say Egypt and Syria are about to invade. Do you want to preemptively strike? And she says, no. Let them hit first. Because if we hit first, we would lose American and international support. Henry Kissinger then came out and said they would not have even received a bullet if Israel would have striked first. That's a very dark explanation if true. But it has historical precedent. 50 years ago, Golda Meir was presented with similar intelligence. And her rationale, by the way, she had to resign because of this. And again, we're speculating, but we're speculating with historical evidence. She said, I want the world to be on our side, so let the Arabs hit first. The Israelis went nuts when they found out. They drove her out of office. Did the Netanyahu government, did the Likud government, I'm mispronouncing it, government, make a conscious decision to allow Hamas into their country because they wanted the world to get behind them because the country was so divided?
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I try to take care of myself. I try to eat right. And I love fruits and vegetables. I'd rather have them than anything else, but I know I don't get nearly enough. So I thought I'll try it for 2 months and no harm, no foul. If it doesn't work after that, then I've tried it and at least I know. Within 2 weeks, I noticed a huge difference in my energy, sleeping better at night, and just energy. I would get up in the morning and get up, not just sit around. You guys have got to try this. You have to try it. You owe it to yourself to try it.
the wife and I both think it's done a lot of good. We both think it's, you know, it's improved your overall day-to-day, how you feel. And we've turned everybody onto it. Our kids are on it. We've got brothers and sisters that are on it. We've got some neighbors we've turned onto it. So we're very pleased with the product and the results. It's not like you're Superman, but you definitely know you're healthier. You're going to lose weight. And I've never heard that said in any of the commercials, but by golly, you do.
I work in a school, so I'm around like 1,000 kids a day constantly. And so I wash my hands and use alcohol on them probably 100 times a day or better. And my hands are always cracking open and splitting. And I did not have that this entire winter. And I bet you anything, this is me, I bet you anything it's down to nature because it's the only thing I've done different. Like the guy on your commercial says, I'm going to keep on taking it the rest of my life. And I feel the same way. It's going really good. I mean, I feel better. I've got more energy and, you know, I can go through my day better.
Start your journey to better health with Balance of Nature. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com to get 35% off your first preferred order. That's 1-800-246-8751. Go to balanceofnature.com or call 1-800-246-8751 and get this special offer by using discount code CHARLIE.
We're getting a lot of emails here about the Sean Hannity, who I've known Sean for years, and I have a lot of respect for Sean. We don't see eye to eye on every issue, but Sean is a legend. And Vivek Ramaswamy, who I really like, and I consider Vivek a friend. And this is very heated. They basically started shouting at one another. It got unnecessarily heated, honestly. And I'm going to kind of just take, I'm going to be pretty down the middle here and kind of show you from both sides. Sean Hannity views Vivek Ramaswamy as being insensitive towards the cruelties of Israel and not stepping up for Israel in a time for need. Vivek Ramaswamy is pro-Israel, and he has been very clear about that. To accuse him of that is not true. However, it's not always what you say in politics. It's what people hear in politics. And what people are hearing at times from Vivek Ramaswamy at now is a lack of, not sympathy, but not reading the room. There's a certain heaviness that has set in where people are very worried and focused on Israeli security and the Jewish people. It's not an atrocity like anything we've seen. And you have to know that in politics. It's not always what you say. It's what people hear. Now, Donald Trump, the laws of politics don't apply to Donald Trump. That's the other thing that people have to know. Even though if Donald Trump can get away with saying things that are off the wall and unique and unprecedented, unusual, does not mean you can as well. This conversation got unnecessarily heated, by the way, between Sean and Vivek. I'm going to play this, but let's go through this. Where's the tape here? I think we had it all lined up. I don't know what happened to it. Yeah, let's play this. This is cut 168, Vivek Ramaswamy. And let me be very clear. I'm enthusiastically behind Vivek running for the presidency, him introducing new ideas. He's exciting. He's smart. And honestly, the kind of anti-neoliberal, anti-neoconservative line of thinking that he is introducing to the conservative movement is healthy, it is popular, and it is necessary. Please play cut 168.
People should
watch
it.
You go on these shows, people quote your exact words, and you deny your own words. And I'm saying if you're going to be a
Sean,
presidential candidate,
far from
and
it.
You're going to spend, I'm going to give you your exact words, either
you're the
own
ones,
it
Sean, you have been
or
sitting here for years talking about the fake news media.
Did you play this
you have
all
been,
the
Sean,
time?
This is, I'm enjoying this. You have been laughing about the fake news media how many times for the last several years, and now you're buying the mainstream media narrative when
Excuse
you know how corrupt
me.
It is.
I think people that never held public office like you, maybe they're not qualified to be president. Anyway.
Okay. Not the best comeback. Trump didn't hold public office, and that's why we liked him. So let's not use that argument. Okay. But they're arguing all about this in cut 171. Vivek and Tucker Carlson going back and forth about Armenia and Azerbaijan. If we could get the other part of the Sean Vivek thing, and I'll be honest, I see it slightly from Sean's perspective. I see it largely from Vivek's perspective. And basically, the energy that Sean is putting forward is like, hey, man, like, can you take a week just to kind of let the atrocity of the Jewish people set in? That's kind of what Sean's saying there. We live in a 24-hour news cycle. There is real concerns about a regional war breaking out. But this is Vivek with the great Tucker Carlson, of whom I'm in harmony with when it comes to pushing against going into these stupid wars like one against Iran. Play cut 171.
Look at what's happening with Azerbaijan and Armenia. And what's happening is an atrocity. I mean, you have people who are Armenians, largely Christians, six-figure numbers, 100, 120,000, being driven back to their country from a region that has long been a place they have called home. A lot of atrocities that aren't even yet coming to light in Western media. But Azerbaijan has a lobby, a powerful lobby in Washington, D.C. But you'll hear endlessly about Russia's incursion on Ukraine and having to stand on the right side. That's a separate point where I reject that Ukraine is inherently good anyway.
So we're going to get more of this tape here. So Vivek is talking about how the credit to Vivek Ramaswamy, I don't think a person running for the American presidency in the history of the nation has made a central point of Azerbaijan. So that's pretty impressive, to be honest. that is definitely new to introduce Azerbaijan into the American political discourse. I am really good at geography. Very good, not as good as Blake. I don't think I could pick Azerbaijan off on a map. I think it's east of Armenia and borders Iran, but that's just off the top of my head. I think. Am I right, Blake? Oh, cool. I was guessing. Can I spell it? Not a chance. I am a legendarily bad speller. Everyone knows that in the chat. If you work with me, if I spell anything correctly, it is the exception, not the rule. I'm an awful, I type so fast, I just allow the typos to kind of just flow. My favorite message from Andrew is, what? It's just some approximation at, get this clip. It's like very, all over the place. It's fine. Anyway, so Vivek, to his credit, is introducing this, and he's right. By the way, I stand 100% with Armenia. We should be talking about Armenia. Armenia's the nation. So this is as... Armenia is the closest thing to Israel that Christians have. It is the oldest Christian country. Hey, we said it at the same time, Blake. It is a Christian country an explicitly Christian country in the Middle East. Some of the smartest, most amazing people in America are Armenians. And they are being basically displaced by Azerbaijanis. Now, I'll be honest. I don't really know how big the Azerbaijani lobby in Washington, D.C. is. I'll have to get back to you on that. That's the first I've heard that. But Armenia used to be four times as big, and it keeps on getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and it's being ethnically cleansed. And the Turks, by the way, did a legitimate genocide against them that is completely denied. The Turks, not my favorite people. Why Turkey's in NATO is so silly to me. It makes no sense. Not smart. Why bring this up, okay? I think it actually is important. What's happening in Armenia is a really important thing. It's very important. Is it as horrific and as bad as what's happening right now in Israel? No, that's not the argument we're making. But it is a current displacement of about 100,000 people out of Armenia that Azerbaijan is doing. By the way, it is a country, by the way, that borders Iran. So Vivek and Hannity are going back and forth. And one thing I'll disagree with Hannity on is Hannity says to Vivek, like, hey, man, no one is calling for a regional war. That's not true. Okay, technically, Sean is right. Okay, no one is going on television saying, I want a regional war. But the essence of what Lindsey Graham is saying would spark a regional war. Okay, so that's not a fair attack vector against Vivek. Do we have Lindsey Graham here? We have like 900,000 clips here. Lindsey Graham. Okay, thank you. Yeah, 92. So it actually is true that some people are banging the drums that would result in a regional war. So that's not a fair attack against Vivek. Play cut 92.
Well, for every Israeli or American hostage executed by Hamas, we should take down an Iranian oil refinery. The only way you're going to keep this war from escalating is to hold Iran accountable. I am confident this was planned and funded by the Iranians. Hamas is a bunch of animals who deserve to be treated like animals. So if I was Israel, I would go in on the ground. There is no truce to be had here. I would dismantle Hamas. This is the best opportunity Israel has to destroy Hamas. Take it to the Iranians. It is now time to take the war to the Ayatollah's backyard.
Okay, now to take the war to the Ayatollah's backyard, that would be a regional war, okay? You would have Sunni, Shia, and guess what? Israeli planes, if you sent 10 Israeli fighter jets to Iran, it's a suicide mission. First of all, it's about a 1,300 to 1,400 mile flight. You would lose at least 7 out of 10 of them because of the Soviet-era defense systems. And the Israeli jets literally do not have refueling capabilities because they have to fly over Jordan and Iraq to get back to Israel. So they need an American aircraft carrier in the Persian Gulf. So this idea that Israel can just single-handedly go send jets, yeah, if they're, and they might find 10 patriotic Israeli Defense Force, Air Force members, I don't know what they call it, IDF Air Force, I don't know, to go and bomb Iranian oil fields. But basically, they'll call America and say, can we use your aircraft carrier? Which would be an active measure of war against Iran. If we allowed Israel to use our aircraft carrier, even if it was Israeli planes, that 100% is an act of war, and that would be a mistake. And understand that I think that 60%, can you fact check me? I think 60, 65% of the Iranian population is under the age of 30. Iran is a mess. It's a dysfunctional country. It's a very young country. The Ayatollah is increasingly unpopular. It's going to come to a simmering point at some point. In bombing Iran, like, what are you, John McCain? Isn't there like a video of him like bomb Iran? Or was that an SNL skit? So like, you might as well have said it. Yeah, 68%. Wow, that's amazing. It's a very, very young country. Incredibly young country in Iran. The Persian people are industrious people. They're smart people. It would be a big mistake to do that. It would. Stay focused. Stay precise. Israel is handling this correctly right now, honestly. Giving people aforementioned notice, talking about humanitarian corridors, offering medical support, doing leaflets. That is a good way forward. Be the moral and the humane actors. Being measured. Israel knows they have the superior military. Israel has bombed parts of northern Gaza. They're going in right now. Needs to be clear not to turn this into a broader Middle Eastern war. Hey, Charlie Kirk here. If you guys love this program and you want to support this program, if we have impacted or blessed your life in any way, I want to tell you about a new thing that we are starting it up. First of all, if you have supported us at charliekirk.com/support, nothing to worry about. You guys are going to be moved on over. If you want to support us even more and say, hey, I want exclusive content, I want to talk to Charlie directly, we are standing up this amazing infrastructure. Team's been working so hard at members.charliekirk.com. Not only is it a way to support us directly outside of all of the other channels, but get this, live Q&As with me and the team, articles exclusively written by me that you won't find anywhere else, pre-show prep calls, and more. Sign up today at members.charliekirk.com. We love bringing our show every day, and we can't wait to bring you even more content that is just for you at the Charlie Kirk exclusive. That's members.charliekirk.com. Head to members.charliekirk.com today. Yes, there's going to be a lot of goodies, a lot of engagement, a lot of fun stuff. But even more than that, if you feel moved and compelled that our show is impacting you and impacting the world, it would mean a lot if you became a member at members.charliekirk.com. So I guess reflections on ending my 20s. That's quite something. So I roughly tallied it up. I traveled well over 3,100 days in my 20s. So saw a lot of the world. Saw a lot of America. We have a great country. Learned a lot. Boy, how many speeches do you think I gave in my 20s? If I was on the road for 3,100 days, I give about a speech a day, sometimes two or three. Yeah, probably 3,000 speeches. That's amazing. Been doing radio for, is it 3 years now? Yeah, we missed our 3-year anniversary of radio. Just kind of glossed over it. So that's 3 shows a day. And then we do podcasts on Saturday, Sunday. So that's almost like 1,000 podcasts easily, right? Easily 1,200, 1,300, 1,400 podcasts. Now, Turning Point USA has exploded in the last, I didn't start it in my 20s, but it was small when I turned 20, and it is not small any longer. Wrote a couple books, one of them a New York Times bestseller, should have been number one, but the whole system is rigged. I think we were number 2 or 3, MAGA Doctrine. Oh yeah, started this whole podcast, and I guess you could call, is it a media company now? I guess you could call it that. Andrew says, yes, it's a media company. Okay, cool. So we have that whole thing. We do have lots of employees. That is true. I have Turning Point Action that we really... Turning Point Action now has like 75 staff. I turn over a rock and they're hiring like another 30 people. It's pretty cool. We have 300,000 donors now at Turning Point USA. So that's pretty cool. 300,000 people. That's as many troops are on the Israeli border of Gaza. Chapters are just unbelievable. Launch Teep USA Faith, which is very... If you told me a decade ago we'd have Teep USA Faith, I'd say, why would we do that? All the churches are strong and they love liberty. No, they don't. Largest pastor summits in the country. Launch Turning Point Academy. Let's see what else we did. Oh, yeah. I mean, our social media powerhouse, Frontlines, is up and going. Anna Paulina Luna, Candace Owens, Brandon Tatum, Will Witt, Isabel Brown, all came through our ranks. Some are still with us. Yeah, we raised a fair amount of money. I think, according to the press, I guess we raised $250 million in the last 4 or 5 years. So that's kind of cool. It's inflation. You can't take that seriously. It's very blessed. We're very blessed, but it's not as impressive as it sounds. So yeah, it's been a good decade. What did I learn? I got married and had a kid. So that's the most important thing. You should do that. Somebody emailed us. How many death threats? A lot. Tens of thousands. Yeah. How many liberals did I debate in the last decade? That's fun to think about, isn't it? How many left wingers? A lot. Ryan, you have like all those videos, right? How many hours of video do you think I did in my 20s? I mean, it's got to be over 15 to 20,000 hours of video, right? Is that fair to say? 15 to 20,000 hours of video? Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah. We have billions of views of our content. That's true. Billions of views. Our content has been viewed billions of times. That's pretty cool. Started honoring the Sabbath, which was a game changer. And yeah, just honestly, you know, in your mid-20s, when you start to do this for a while, you have to make a decision whether or not you want to double down or whether you want to just kind of give up. And praise God, I have a great team around me. And it's not about me. It's obviously I'm turning 30, which is its own thing. But the team has just supported us so beautifully and so amazingly. We have the best team in all of media and all of politics. I really believe that. Definitely take my faith more seriously than I did when I was 20. Learn who my real friends are. That is totally true. I do not have many friends, but the friends I have are important. Yeah, I really don't talk to many people back from my hometown. People that I thought were friends, discarded. Definitely less libertarian than I was 10 years ago. That's for sure. And those are all very good things. And let's see what the 30s have in store. But I got to be honest, the 20s were unbelievably blessed. I don't really have many regrets. You know, it's funny. When you travel 3,100 days and you really don't take any days off, I can say this for those of you in your early 20s, you don't wish you would have taken more time off. I mean, you don't like, boy, I wish I would have sat around more. If any regrets, it's like I probably could have pushed myself even harder. Maybe. I nearly break myself sometimes. Yeah, I've been to all 50 states, you know, 20 countries, seen some pretty cool stuff. And we have some big goals in our 30s. And for all of you rascals out there that thought you guys could get us to give up on our 20s, you were wrong. We had a great decade, and we have another one coming up. So God bless you guys. Thank you for all of your support. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns.
What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.